The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ, resurrected from the dead, Lord and Savior of all. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it is a remarkable story. One of those great miracle stories, really. It's not a healing, but it's one of those stories of Jesus showing that he has God's power even over the natural elements. But as I got thinking about this story this week, I couldn't escape Peter. Peter's actions. They're getting thrown around. They see Jesus. They think it's a ghost. Jesus says what all good apparitions say, "Do not be afraid." In the scriptures, the angels always say, "Do not be afraid," because people are always scared of folks who are there on God's behalf. That's what the angels do. They come and they speak on God's behalf and everyone's afraid. So Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." But that doesn't seem to help a lot. And Peter thinks about it and he says, "If it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says simply, "Come." Now, this is a tough time of day. This is what most translations of the Bible would call the fourth watch of the night. This is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Any parent of a newborn knows that the hours between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. are tough. Well, there Peter is. "Command me to come to you." So, Jesus says, "Come," steps out of the boat, and as you saw, so beautifully illustrated, he sank. He said, "Save me." Jesus reached out his hand and he saved him, and they got in the boat. The storm ended. We know that part. What is it about Peter? What is it, first, let me ask, what is it about Matthew? Because there are four Gospels. This is the only one that tells the story about Peter. John and Mark both talk about Jesus walking on water. Luke doesn't, never mentions it, but the other two do. But only Matthew mentions Peter trying to walk on the water himself. My speculation is that this has to do with discipleship, that he's trying to make a point about discipleship. Matthew's gospel is all about discipleship, and actually at this point in the gospel, he's really hitting the ground running on the demands of discipleship. Well, what is it that makes Peter sink? Is it because he's not God? I mean, that probably doesn't help. But Matthew's very specific. He looked and he saw the wind and the waves and he began to sink. He took his eyes off the prize, didn't he? He's walking to Jesus and then he noticed all the wind and the waves. Now, Jesus wasn't terribly helpful here. You recall when they get back in the boat, Jesus calmed the storm. Presumably, he could have done that before Peter started walking on the water, but he didn't. But there he is, distracted. He saw the prize, and then he got distracted. Well, this is something, of course, that all of us deal with. We're all distracted thousands of times every day of every year. In fact, USA Today reports that we all see between 3,500 and 5,000 marketing messages every day. Every day. And their whole point is to distract us. Their whole point is to say, stop paying attention to what you're paying attention to and look at me because I have something to sell you. How can you not be distracted? Life distracts us. Our work life interferes with family life. Family life interferes with work life. The dog distracts us. The computer distracts us. Our cell phones distract us. The parents distract us. Whatever it is, we're distracted all the time. We are constantly distracted. We all know about texting and driving and how dangerous that is. But now we have iPhones and apps. And it gets worse. Nationwide Insurance did a survey and was able to determine that about a quarter of all cell phone users have downloaded apps and use them. Of the people who responded to the survey, 25% admitted to using apps while they drive. And of those who admitted to using apps while they drive, 25% again admitted to downloading apps while they drive. You want to talk about distracted? My goodness. And this is what people admit. There's no end to the distractions. What about multitasking? If you're sitting in a job interview, you're better off saying, I multitask well, or I really do better if I focus on one thing at a time. Multitasking, right? An article in Fortune says it's unethical to multitask while you're working because you do less work. You get less done. You are less productive when you are multitasking. Well, we love to multitask. There was one survey that studied people who say they're multitaskers and people who say they're not. And the people who are not multitaskers actually do better when switching tasks than those who claim to multitask. In fact, multitasking has been shown to be dangerous to those of us who are older. It can actually diminish your memory. Distractions all the time. Distractions. Well, this is what Peter is dealing with. As I said, Peter took his eyes off the prize. He had something great in front of him, and he blew it. There's just too much getting in our way. We allow ourselves to be distracted in such a way that it begins to impinge on our relationships. And that includes our relationship with God. It includes our relationship with God. When we get distracted, we stop focusing on what's important to us. We certainly let stuff do this. As George Carlin puts it, stuff, all this stuff we have. We get into this pursuit of stuff that takes our mind off what's important and our hearts off what's important. We pursue it, more stuff, better stuff, the stuff that somebody else have, the stuff that those marketing messages are telling us I have to have. So by all means, I should go out and buy it. And then we lose the prize. A pastor wrote the following about distractions in ministry. He says, many things can distract you from ministry. Personal or health problems can distract you. Competing interests can distract you. Finances can distract you. Things that you think are fun and good and wonderful can distract you. It doesn't even matter if you're being a good, upstanding person while being distracted. Because as long as you're distracted, you aren't doing what God wants you to do. Remember, Scripture tells us, no one who puts a hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. You must look forward to God. God wants us to stay focused. Never lose sight of your mission as a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen.